Welcome to the Enduring Faith Broadcast, where we are reaching a generation for Jesus Christ with an end-time message of discernment. We are dedicated in revealing biblical truth through God's Word, music, and the media. Join us as we discuss current events and topics through the written Word of God. Now, here is your host, Isaac Gutierrez. Welcome to the Enduring Faith. We are glad that you join us today. Today is Tuesday, June 11th, 2013, but we're going to be giving you a special program for Father's Day. We know that Father's Day is this coming Sunday, and we have dedicated the whole month at the Enduring Faith Ministries to men's ministry, to fathers, to sons, spiritual sons, and we're going to be talking about what God wants to do in men's lives, because we believe it's time for the mighty men to arise. They have been asleep and God wants to wake them up. And this broadcast is dedicated to all the fathers out there, and all the men are going to be fathers, and also the sons. All the men, you know, people think that being a man, you got to be a certain age. Well, God considers all the men, all from all ages. We're all men. We're all males. And we're under attack. There's a great attack going on against men in all areas of life. The enemy wants to stop and destroy the headship. He wants to stop the leadership. He knows if he can target the men, then he can destroy the family unit. But we have decided that we're not going to let that happen. So we're going to be posting today. This is a special broadcast. This was a message that was recorded back in 2005, I believe. I preached a message called Reconciliation, or Reconciling to the Heavenly Father. And it was a very powerful word, and it was directed especially to men that are just going through so many different changes in life. Not only that, but fathers and fathers to be. And this word was very powerful. And in fact, I was glad that I was looking through my archives and I found this preaching, this teaching. I wanted to, you know, redo it, but there's no way to bring it, you know, the way that it was done. It was just a message that was timely, and I believe it's going to be a classic for years to come. This was from, I believe we recorded this back in 2005. The ministry back then was called Time Is Now Ministries, and we had a ministry there in Dallas, Texas, actually, in the Oak Cliff area, and we were just preaching the Word of God and just declaring the Word of truth. But today, we're bringing you today this podcast. It's going to be bringing you this message in its entirety. And then we're going to come back with some reflections at the end. And also maybe just we'll also give you an opportunity. If those that don't know Christ, you know, there's men out there that are, they've come to a point in life where, you know, they're angry at their father. They're mad. You know, they got resentment, bitterness, and anger. Well, at the end of this broadcast, we're going to pray, and we believe that God, we're going to set them free from those different heartaches and bondages that they've been holding on to. I just want to let you know about our blog. It's efministries.wordpress.com. You can find out, you can find videos, you can find audio, there are articles. Also, we got a coming soon, very soon, we will have the news of our brand new release of the book. God has opened the door for it to finally be published. I've been waiting 5 years for this book to be published, and now the opportunity has come, and we believe this summer we'll have my first book release, and I'll be giving you more details in the next coming weeks. We might even put up a sneak peek of the actual cover of the book so you can get an idea of what it's going to look like. But we believe that this book is going to open more doors into more areas to go and to minister, to go reach more people. And we believe that this book is going to reach many people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to build your faith. That's all I'm going to tell you. It's going to build your faith. It's a walk of faith that I've lived. And it's testimony after testimony and word after word from God's word and experience in life that has occurred. And I believe it's going to touch you. It's going to really give you endurance. That's all I can say. It's going to build your faith. And be looking out for that very soon. And also, we just released a brand new compact disc. For those of you that like gospel camp meeting music, this recording was recorded live in one of our meetings, and it has many songs. You know, if you ever went to the Schombach revivals, or you went to the all the different camp meeting revivals, these are songs that were sung, like Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. I keep falling in love with him over and over again. Look what the Lord has done. When I think about Jesus, there's tons. There's maybe 20 songs that we do in this CD, but it's recorded live, and you can actually almost feel like you're in camp meeting. If you want to get a hold of this CD, you can go to efministries.wordpress.com or go to our email and request it. That's efministries@live.com. That's efministries@live.com. There's many more things that are coming out, but we have taken enough time already, so let's go ahead and get into our broadcast. It's called Reconciling to the Heavenly Father.
One more time. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's time for us to reconcile to the Father. You may be seated. I want to welcome you to Sunday morning service. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today is Father's Day. A lot of times we emphasize on Mother's Day, but today is for the fathers, because sometimes the fathers need some encouragement too. Sometimes the fathers, sometimes they feel like they've been put aside. Sometimes the fathers feel like they've been left out. But God said it's time for us to reconcile to the Heavenly Father. I want you to turn to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi, chapter 4. I was spending some time with the Lord. You know, sometimes when the Lord's speaking to you, he don't let you sleep. And I was trying to sleep last night, and the Lord won't let me sleep. And he said, I want you to speak tomorrow to the fathers about reconciling to me. Coming back. Prodigal fathers, come back home. But God is saying it's time for the man of God to take his position in the home, to take his position in the church. Just as Jesus Christ is the head of the church, the man is supposed to be the priest of the home. The priest of the home. What's wrong nowadays, we got a lot of fathers that are not there for their children. And we're raising up a generation that are fatherless. And we wonder why our generation is turning out rebellious and without order and without discipline, is because the father is missing. But God is saying it's time for us to reconcile first to the Heavenly Father so we can be the fathers that God has called us to be. Malachi chapter 4, starting in verse 5. If you have it, say amen. Malachi will be the last book of the Old Testament before we get to the New Testament. And the word of God says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smote the earth with a curse. Now I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians. Oh, get ready, because we're going to get some word this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting verse 16. I want to speak a word of encouragement to our men this morning, to all our fathers, and in those that are sons of fathers, all the men of God that are in the house. The Lord says this morning, for which cause we faint not, verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, that means the temporary things, with the situation that you're going through right now, but at the things which are not seen, the things that we cannot see, the things that are in the future, the destiny and the purpose God has for us. For the things which are seen are temporal. That means they're temporary. Where you're at right now, it's a temporary position. You're not going to stay there long. You're not going to be there long. Don't get comfortable where you're at, because God is moving you out of that temporary spot, and he's moving us into the eternal spot. Things which are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want you to bow your heads. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, bless the fathers this Father's Day, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. Let this be a word of encouragement, Lord. Let it be a word that's going to bring life into that dead situation and say, hallelujah, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about reconciliation to the Father. See, God has ordained the man to be the head of his household. Understand that the devil is aggressively pursuing his goal to destroy the head. Satan wants to destroy the head, which is the man, which is the Father. As fathers and men of God, we must submit our lives completely to Christ. We're going to look at this in a way. You see, in the old cowboy, in the Indian movies, whenever the cavalry was outnumbered, y'all remember those old cowboy movies with the Indians who come out? See, when a cavalry was outnumbered, the commander-in-chief always had the quickest solution to the battle, to turn the battle in his favor. He said, we need to take out the chief. If we take out the chief, then the rest of them retreat or surrender. So indeed, for them to take out the chief, by shooting the leader, it would make the others retreat or surrender. You see, Satan uses the same strategy today against men today. See, approximately 60% or more of the church population is female. If Satan destroys a man, he destroys the family. Society has taken away control that God invested in declaring him to be the head. God says, God put the man to be the head. When he created Adam, he said, Adam, I put you in the garden now. You take dominion of what I have given you. But what happened? We lost that authority. But God said, now it's time for you to reclaim that authority. Man was meant to be the disciplinarian of the family. See, the man should be the main provider for his family. If he is not able to provide, what happens? The government gives out food stamps, housing allowance, welfare checks, medical assistance if needed. In other words, the government has become the provider and not the man. So what happens? See, I believe in my opinion, that is the reason why so many women walk away from their marriages today. There is no drive to make the marriage work or even get married because of the illusion that the government paints. See, Satan has inspired this deceit and many women have fallen for it. Nowhere does the Bible say that a parent, a man or a woman's ability to raise a child is based on income, intelligence, or social status. These qualities have been used as excuses for allowing or disallowing parents the opportunity to raise their children. The most important quality in a father or a mother is the ability to teach their children the word of God. You see, Satan doesn't want us to teach our children the word of God. He does everything in his power to separate the family. If he can destroy the family unit, he's done his job. All he got to do is destroy the head. All he has to do is destroy the man of the house. And then the house will, they said, a house divided against itself would not stand. See, Satan knows where to go. He knows where to hit. He hits the head. And what happens? The man kind of goes into a kind of dormitory, and the woman takes over, start doing everything. But God said, now it's time for the man to get up and claim his position. It's time for him to claim his leadership. We as men of God, we are leaders. Since Satan is opposed to teachings of God, God's word, he does not present this as a requirement to being a good father. To being a good father is teaching our children the word of God and not straying away from it. He said, teach the child in the ways of the Lord. And as he gets older, he will not depart from it. That means he's not going to go away. He's not going to stray away from anything because we're teaching them to be on the straight and narrow. That's why he says, don't worry. He says, fathers, do not provoke your sons to anger. What happens? We got a generation full of angry young men. Full of angry young men that hate their fathers. They got some fathers are like dictators. They treat their kids like they're in the military. But you got to understand, if there's no relationship, if there's no relationship with the father and the son, it's not going to work. There has to be a relationship there. 2 Corinthians, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. I think we're there, but go down to verse 4. This is what Satan is doing in these days. It says, let's start in verse 3. But it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is to hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, who's the God of this world? That's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So let's take for instance this. Instead, what Satan wants to do, he wants to separate the church and state and eliminate the influence of the church in our nation. What is it trying to do? Government takes control and they become the God of this world. And the church no longer is taking care of what it should be taking care of. But the government has now taken control. So the church needs to reverse it. The church needs to be the one in control. And the only way we're going to do that, we have the proper men in leadership position. You see, God intended the man to take leadership position, to take the hold of the reins, to say, you know what? I am a man of God. I am a warrior for Christ. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what anyone's done. I may have gone through hell in high water, but I'm still kicking. I'm still here. Oh, hallelujah. You see, Satan uses the government to set his agenda. He cannot control the gospel, so he goes somewhere else. So what does Jesus say about serving two masters? Understand that we can't serve two masters. Jesus said that you can't serve two masters. Either you're going to serve me or serve mammon. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Let's turn to that real quick. Matthew 6, 24. I just come to give you a word of encouragement to the fathers and sons, that God has not forgotten about you, that God is there with you every step of the way, but he wants you to spend more time with him more than anything else. Before job, before family, before business, before anything, God comes first. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then what? All these things shall be added unto you. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6, 24. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? Mammon is the riches of the world. Satan has control of the things of this world, but he can't touch the things of God. See, we need to submit our families, our jobs, our schools, our communities to Christ. The devil uses control of these areas to destroy the greatest threat, and that is the man. The man that is born again, that is baptized in the Holy Ghost. Any man filled with the Holy Ghost and trusted in Jesus Christ assures his rightful position in God and makes the church stronger. Sometimes the leadership is not strong in the church because the men have moved back and the women are taking the front. Now it's time for the men to say, you know what? It's time for us to take our rightful spot. We, as the head, as Jesus Christ is the head of the church, we need to take that position and say, Lord, where do you need us? Lord, we are the man that you have called us to be. We will be the ones that will stand in the gap, be a ministry. You understand that in your home, it's a ministry. You are a minister in your home all times. All times. Just because you're not a preacher doesn't mean you're a minister. Oh, thank you, Lord. Understand that any other control, you see, sometimes men try to manipulate and control things that are going on. They try to control the women. They try to control their wife. They try to control things that are not their own power. Understand, if you try to control things not according to the word of God, as a form of witchcraft or manipulation. What is manipulation? To control, to get what you want. See, we got a lot of men trying to get what they want these days. But God is calling us to come out of them. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean. Then I will receive you to myself. See, fathers, you are the priest of your home, of your house. All families that pray together, stay together. I don't care what you've gone through. You might have gone through a divorce. You might have gone through a split. You might have gone through hell and high water. But you're still here. You're still here. That means that God still got something for you. You see, Satan thought he had you down. But you said, oh, Satan, you're going to take a whole lot of more than that to get me down. To get me depressed, to get me to forfeit my inheritance. Whether you believe it or not, receive it, live it, or ignore it, ministry is not just preaching, ministry is prayer. You want to see some things change in your life? Start praying. Pray. Prayer does wonders. Prayer opens doors to the doors that you can't open. See, such a ministry has to be worked at. It takes a real man to accomplish it successfully, but God gives us the directions we need in his guidebook, the Word of God. This is his guidebook, his manual, his B-I-B-L-E, the basic instructions before leaving earth. Oh, hallelujah. See, ministry, a man never stops ministering. It's his life. Understand, when you're not the minister in your house, what happens? Disaster starts happening. Chaos starts happening. All this starts happening, and they start looking to you for answers. That's when it's time for you to step up and say, I don't know what's going on, but we need to pray. I don't know what's going on, but we need to get on our face and seek God. Because this situation, we can't handle it on our own. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Remember, you're the leader. They follow what you do. Men and fathers make the mistake of thinking they are possessors. This thinking causes them to think independent of God. See, when you think that you're a possessor, you don't need God. Say, God, I got everything under control. I don't need you. But you understand, we can't do things on your own. I don't care what you do. You're going to fall flat on your face. You're going to fall flat on your face, and you're going to say, man, I'm wrong. It's hard for a man to admit that he's wrong. It's hard for a man to admit that he's wrong, but when he admits that he's wrong, that means that he's being more of a man than these other men are. That you can't tell him what to do. You can't tell him, you said, you know what? I'm the macho man. I run this thing. I'm the big honcho here. But ain't the way God wants us to be. God says, God wants us to reconcile to him first. What does that mean? We have to be a son before we can be a father. A son of God. We have to be a good steward. Someone that goes to the Father when we need help. Someone that goes to the Father when there's no one around us to God. Maybe you don't have a father. He said, I'll be a father to the fatherless. I'll be your father. See, my father's in heaven, but my heavenly father is my father right now. He takes care of me. He knows when I'm doing, he knows when it's something I'm not supposed to be doing. The Holy Spirit says, don't do that. You know, if you do that, you're going to get burned. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to do it. Oh, hallelujah. This thinking causes them to think independent of God when we try to be possessors. That is where all the problem begins. Men, fathers, you don't have an option. You are called to be the priest of your home. One thing that Satan is using as a tool is television. Television is destroying the way people perceive fathers to be. The images that are created are immoral images of fathers. They show fathers to be helpless. They show fathers to be weaklings. The kids are running all over the parents. The kids are telling the father what to do. The fathers are what we call they get into their zone where they just want to just watch TV. They get addicted to this. So they get into this closet and they can't come out. Television has been creating and destroying images of manhood for decades with dangerous results. It is the aim of every seducing spirit and doctrine of devil to deliberate your manhood. See, fathers, Satan wants to sap your Christian virility. In so doing, it causes the power of Christ to have little effect in your life. What does that mean? These things that we get involved in, those seducing spirits that pull us away from the things of God, we need to get away from those things that will come back and repent. Say, Lord, I'm not going to go that way no more. Lord, I already learned my lesson no more. I don't want to get chastised no more, Lord. I already have enough spanking already, Lord. Put me on the right path. Yeah, it says, reject such spirits and doctrines. Cast them from your home and from your family. Understand that you're the prime example. They watch what you do. They watch what you do. Every man has functions in the home and community. He is to guide, to guard, and to govern. He is to guide, guard, and govern his home. God gave the command to Adam on the earth, and he has never recited the mantle of authority. That means he hasn't reclaimed that mantle of authority. It's time for you to reclaim that mantle of authority. But we can only do it through Jesus Christ. We can't do it on our own power. I tried. I can't do it on my own power. I can't minister on my own power. I can't preach. Without the Spirit of God, I can't get up here. I need him for boldness. I need him for that spirit because I cannot do it on my own. That's something for a man to admit that he can't make it on his own. If you're a man, it's yours. The mantle of authority, it's yours. You got to wear it. You got to live it. You got to be what God has called you to be. The greatest addiction is not marijuana. It's not cocaine. And it's not pills. It's television. Because it's what? Television? Tell your vision? The world's telling their vision to you. And we're eating it up like candy. But you understand you're digesting junk food. It's junk. And if it's not of God, that enters into our spirit, and our spirit becomes dark. Our spirit becomes weak. Our spirit becomes evil because we allow doorways to come in, and now Satan now has control of what we watch and what we see. And television is just the beginning. After a while, we're going into this harder stuff, pornography, Then we're going into all harder stuff. We're going into stuff that we shouldn't be getting into. Why? Because he's using that seduction, the seducing spirits, to move us further and further away from God's path. When that starts to happen, say, uh-uh. Satan, uh-uh. I already know your plan. I already know your schemes. I don't know what you're trying to do. You're trying to do the same thing that you messed my father up with. You're trying to do the same thing that's been cursing my family for all these years. I'm going to put an end to it. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Let's give the Lord a praise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn to the book of Luke, and we're going to read the story of the prodigal son. And we're going to get some insights of this prodigal son. Luke chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke chapter 15. God wants us to reconcile to our Father, our Heavenly Father. There's many fathers that feel out of place. They feel that they've been used. They feel like they're not the man because they're not making the money. They're not the man because they don't have what other people have. You see, we live in a society that is selfish. It's all about materialism. Materialism. That is one of the things of the world more than the things of God. And what happens, that's what's destroying a lot of marriages. Because if you can't provide that for them, they'll find someone who will provide that for them. But understand, they're going to fall because they're not following God anymore. They're following mammon, which is the riches of this world. See, Satan said, all this stuff I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. So what we do, we turn our back from God, and now we are worshiping ourselves. We are worshiping Satan by worshiping the things of this world. Let's go to Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Now, this is the parable that Jesus spoke concerning the prodigal son. He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger said to his father, Father, give me the portions of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I mean, he just spent everything he had on just who knows what. Women, food, drinking, feasting, all these things. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, to feed pigs. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great far off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, thy brother is come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him and said, Father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto his son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meant that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Even though the prodigal son went and did, and he spent everything he had on harlots, on living, on feasting, he finally came to his senses and said, what am I doing here in the world? What am I doing here? I need to go back to my father. Some of us need to go back to our father. We're prodigals. We're prodigal sons that need to return back to our heavenly father. And he's waiting to reach out and embrace you and say, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, and how far you've gone away. I never gave up looking for you. Even when you were far off, I can see you. And I was just waiting for you to come back home. Oh, hallelujah. The prodigal father needs to return home. You see, the modern youth today need fathers of good courage. They need heroes. Joshua, when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They need Daniels who faced the lions of our day and shut their mouth from the swelling and blasphemous over against God, what people are talking against God. Many of the homes is a leader. The man of the house is a leader. He's a steward. He's a priest. He's a minister. He's a counselor. He must be everything to his home that Christ is to the church. It's no small job description. That's why it takes a man. God is raising a last day army of committed men who are to be a good father. You got to be a good son. We want to be good fathers. We got to be good sons. God is the father of the fatherless. Sometimes we grow up because we don't, you know, maybe our father didn't love us like he should. He didn't show us that love like anyone else did. So what happens? We in return do the same to our families. And we don't have that love and compassion. But God says we got to go to him so we can be the loving fathers that we can be. He loves us more than anything. He loves us more than anything in the world. God is the God of the fatherless. See, the hatred of a father leads to rebellion and ruin. But repentance leads to reconciliation and restoration. See, we all have a heavenly father who, in great love for us, waits for us in our prodigal lifestyle to come to our senses and return to him and find the inheritance we thought we had squandered. That's why God says, come on home. Come on home. Oh, hallelujah. Be the man that God wants you to be. A man of God. A champion. God has called you to be more. He called you to be a man of courage, a champion, someone that takes responsibility, a man of discipline, a man that can admit that he's wrong, a man that says, you know what? I need to listen before I think, before you do something. Be quick to listen. Sometimes we do things before we listen. But God says, listen first. Follow me. The steps of a righteous man is ordered by the Lord. You want your steps to be ordered? Follow your heavenly Father. I just want to give you a encouragement to the men this morning, to all the fathers. Don't ever think that you're not the father. Don't ever think that you've failed in raising your children. Don't ever think that you failed in the mission. You sometimes feel that you've been, sometimes you feel that you're not man enough, like people say. People always say that you don't have the ability. But God says you do have the ability. God says you do have the leadership qualities. You do have the discipline. You do have the courage. You do have the tenacity. You do have the ability to be more. Don't listen to what the world says about you. Don't listen to what the world says about what men are. Say men are all dogs. No, they're not. If you choose to be, you can be. But if you choose to be a man of God, you're a man of integrity. You're a man of honesty. You're a man. Hallelujah. Called after God's own heart. David was a man called after God's own. He said, I'm a man after God's own heart, even though he sinned. He committed adultery. He murdered. He fornicated. But he said, he came back and repented and said, God, I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I was doing. But Lord, please help me. I can't make it on my own. I can't do it. I need your help. I need you, Lord. And the Lord said, come on back. Come on back, prodigal son. Come on back home. I've been waiting for you. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I just want you to know this morning, sometimes the mothers are, you know, sometimes the fathers, even in our secular world, Father's Day is not as important as Mother's Day. But understand, the father is the leader of the home. If there's no leadership in the home, the house collapses. There's no unity. But maybe it doesn't matter. Sometimes some of us have gone through divorce. Some of us have gone through a split. But it's still your job to raise those kids. It's still your job. It's not their fault that, you know, there was something that got in between. But God says, you still have the authority over those kids. You still need to teach those kids my word. Because what happens is the world starts becoming their teacher. And after a while, they don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to hear what you have to tell them. Said, I don't have to listen to you. Why? Because the world is now their teacher. And they start drifting away from God's word. And little by little, they're falling to rebellion until no longer it turns from a relationship to a hate. Why? Because Satan has put enmity between the fathers and the sons. His job is to destroy the family unit. That's all he's doing these last days. He wants to destroy the family unit. See, family was ordained by God. The family was put together by God. But Satan in his last days wants to destroy the family. He'll do it through finances. He'll do it through other avenues. He uses everything in his arsenal to destroy the integrity of the man and to make him less than what he thinks he is. But I'm here to tell you that God says that you are more than a conqueror. That you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. That many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Oh, thank you, Lord. I want you to just stand. There was more I wanted to speak on, but God said it's time for us to come back and reconcile. There's some things that we need to repent of. There's some things that we need to say, God, I've been trying to do things on my own. I've been trying to do it all on my own. I thought I could handle it on my own. But you know what, God, I can't. I need you. I'm a prodigal son, Lord, and I want to come home. I truly want to come home. I'm going to give my total commitment to you. Because if I commit, because if you pay the price for me, even though when I do things that are not of you, Lord, and you still said, come back to me. Don't do that. Come back. Even though you spent everything that you had, he's still waiting for you. See, when you tried everything and everything else has failed, it says, try Jesus. I just want to say to the fathers, be the father of excellence. Be a father of integrity. And those in these young men that are not fathers yet, learn from the fathers. Let them be your mentors. Let them be your guide and tell you. Let them show you what you need to do. And they're going to show you, do this and don't do this. They're going to save you years of mistakes that they made. They're going to show you years of things that they did wrong so that you don't do it wrong. So take advice. Take the advice. But even men that feel that, I feel like some men been wounded. I feel like some fathers, they've been hurt. There's something that's happened in your life and has devastated your life. It's just completely tore you apart. But if it wasn't for the Lord on your side, you don't know where you would be. You wouldn't be here right now. But God embraced you. God put you in his arms and said, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. I got everything under control. I just want you. I need your time. I need your intimacy with me. I need that close relationship with me. Sometimes God has to move things out of the way for you to get closer to him. Sometimes God has to move things out of the way because they're a hindrance to your calling, to your ministry. But understand, it's time for those people also to repent and come back home. Selfishness can only last for a little bit. But you know what? God is raising a last day army. He's raising God's army of young men, of fathers, of men and women that are dedicated and say, you know what? We're not going to take this anymore. We're not going to take this. We're not letting you destroy and rob our families. You're not letting you destroy and rob our inheritance. Oh, hallelujah. We're getting that last wealth transferring, bringing it back into the body of Christ. Taking back what belongs to you. Taking back what the enemy has stolen. Oh, hallelujah. God's called you to be a man of courage. Boldness. God is going to give you boldness to be able to do everything with excellency in your ministry, as a father, in your business, in your home, in your schools, in your community, in your lifestyle. I want to call all the fathers, not just the fathers, but also the men who one day will be fathers. And I want to just pray with you. that God is going to touch you. There's some issues that you're dealing with, and you need to leave them at the altar today. There's some things that you're wrestling with, and you can't handle it on your own. Leave it at the altar. It's time for you to come home. It's time for the prodigal fathers and sons to come home. Jesus is waiting for you. He's waiting to embrace you and say, you may have failed, you may have fallen, you may have fallen short, but you're still my son. You may have made the mistake before, but I'm just waiting for you to come back and say, Lord, I repent. Lord, I need you in my life. I can't make it on my own. Is that you this morning? I want you to come and I want to pray with you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the broadcast, reconciling to the Heavenly Father, talking about just what God wants to do to change fatherlessness. You know, he'll be a father to the fatherless, and that is a great problem we have. But we know that God is doing something right now. And for those that have been touched by this broadcast, have been touched by this message, and you just feel that you need prayer, well, I want to pray with you right now that God would just touch you in such a mighty way, in such a powerful way, and that He would just change your life. You know, we hold on to things in the past and we can't change those things. There's things that had happened in your past, maybe with your father, or your father wasn't there. Maybe you didn't grow up with the father. Maybe, you know, you're an orphan or grew up in foster homes. Well, you know, God is going to be the father to the fatherless. And we're going to pray this prayer. And I just want you to just receive this prayer, because I want to pray that God would release you from all the pain and all the anger and resentment that you have built inside, and that today we're going to let it go in Jesus' name. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for those that have heard this broadcast. I ask, Lord, that you would touch their hearts right now, Lord. I ask, Lord, if there's any bitterness, anger, resentment, or any anger towards their fathers, Lord, that they would just forgive them right now, Lord God. Lord, we forgive our fathers, God. I forgive my father. I forgive those that have offended me, those that have said things that weren't good, Father, that said words that hurt, Lord. Lord, I forgive my father, and I ask, Lord, that you would give those that are listening today peace, God. Let them find reconciliation to you first, God, for you being their heavenly Father, that they may reconcile to their fathers, Lord. I just ask, God, that you would give them an understanding. Lord, if they don't know you as Lord and Savior right now, Lord, I ask that they would receive you in their hearts. Just pray this right now. Said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, change me, wash me, cleanse me. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross, you were buried, and that you rose again on the third day, and you're coming back again for me in all great power and authority. Now fill me with the Holy Spirit, that I may be a bold witness for you and for the kingdom to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you said that, we'd like to hear from you, and just send us an email at efministries@life.com. You can reach us once again. That's efministries@life.com. And also, we want to wish all the fathers to be a happy Father's Day. Just let us know how this is blessing you. That way we can continue what we're doing. We're not asking for no donations. We're not asking for any money. This is not about making money. This is about preaching the gospel, because freely we have received, now freely we give. And I just want to say to those, for those that are going to be celebrating Father's Day, let's celebrate our fathers. Let's celebrate those that have given their lives. Let's celebrate those that have sacrificed much. We know that the society looks at fathers not as they look as the, you know, when Mother's Day is, you know, it's not celebrated as much. But let's change that. Let's change what, you know, society and our country thinks about men. And we got to change that, men of God. We got to change that. And I believe change is coming. So let's be a part of this change and continue to be listening to more more messages that are going to inspire you to stand up and be a mighty man of valor. Until we meet again, this is Isaac Gutierrez with the Enduring Faith. Continue to build Enduring Faith. We'll see you again in our next broadcast. May the Lord bless you.